Monday night's main event after party for WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Night 1. It is a new era in WWE. We're going to find out what we thought about it and so much more here on this show. What a night. What a week. What a weekend. What a past few days it's already been. We're your hosts. I'm Boris, and I am joined by a smack daddy, Brad the Dad, Brad McKinnon. Hey, how's it going?
Hello, friends, and thank you for having me here, Boris, for night one of WrestleMania. Really our appetizer for the WrestleMania double shot that we're about to experience this weekend. Boris, I've watched a ton of professional wrestling today, and there's so much to watch, and I probably could have watched more, except I was at a wedding for a couple hours.
Dang, look at you. Pretty busy. That's awesome, man. Like, it's been quite the past few days. I've watched quite a bit, also been covering a bit, covered Ring of Honor, at least on the written side, for Slam Wrestling. You can go to slamwrestling.net for that. We have so much going on, but Brad, let's, we're going to talk about WrestleMania. That's what people are here to listen to us to talk about. But we're also going to touch here and there on other stuff. So you've said you've been watching a lot of wrestling. What have you been watching overall?
I started with Bloodsport on Friday. So Friday I watched that. I watched a little bit of For the Culture. I have Joey and Janela's Spring Break is been completed. That was amazing. And I'm really looking forward to the Cluster Battle Royal, which is going on right now. And we are foregoing watching that to be here. But also Stand and Deliver. The whole Hall of Fame, and then of course SmackDown, which I think I'm the only person, me and Greg, we're the only people that sat down and watched SmackDown last night.
No, I watched it. I watched it live, actually. Like, I had a couple of screens going on. I had Ring of Honor on one screen. I had SmackDown on the other screen. And there were times where I was paying more attention to SmackDown, but Ring of Honor overall, look, in-ring, amazing. Fantastic. It did kind of feel like that old school Ring of Honor where it's all about the in-ring. But, in the grand scheme of stuff, that is not what Ring of Honor under the TK era is. And I don't know, that's a conversation for another day. But let's talk about WWE. We're here to focus on WWE. And Brad, it has been quite the day. Let's talk about NXT, Stand and Deliver real quick. We are going to have an aftercast tomorrow by the always excellent Steve Swift, and he's going to ramble on about that show. But what were your impressions on Stand and Deliver?
I actually enjoyed it a great deal. As I got home from that wedding, I started it, and I will tell you two things. One, starting pay-per-views about an hour late is definitely the way to watch WWE, especially on a weekend like this where there's so much to watch. Two, Dragunov is ready for the main roster. I know he's not coming up anytime soon with that title, but that was an amazing match. He pulled the best match out of Tony D I think we've ever seen. It may have been the match of the show for me.
Yeah, that was a really good match. I think the big meaty men slapping meat match, the Obafemi match, Dijak, that one was just, and Josh Briggs, I think that one was absolutely insane. Some spots that you've never seen from such big guys, that much of a lot of fun. Roxanne Perez and Lyra Valkyria rewrote the rules of professional wrestling. And by that, I mean Roxanne Perez, the heel, controlled the entire match. The entire match she controlled and ends up winning.
Well, and the shocker, Boris, was the start, the tag match, and the fact that I'm pretty sure Bron Breakker is supposed to be on SmackDown. Allegedly, he's part of my brand, but he still has those tag titles, and that excites me a whole lot because I think Bron Breakker coming in with his pedigree as a tag team wrestler would be good for him to get on the main roster and with a guide like Baron Corbin, who is, I know people hate him.
He's on the run of his career. Like, I have never in my life thought I would give a damn about Baron Corbin, but here we are actually caring about Baron Corbin and the connection that he has with Bron Breakker. I'm almost tempted to say I want them to go up together.
Yeah, that's my hope. It's been my hope for a while because the Wolf Dogs are amazing. And wouldn't it be amazing if they went up, they won one of the tag titles, and they didn't lose either strap until they started losing. And then they lose both of them back to back. The tag team dissolves. Bron can get a big win over he can get a big win over his tag partner and get his singles career started. There's just so much good stuff going on in NXT. Boris, you used to cover this rainbow brand thing that used to happen. And I think you left that show a little bit too soon.
Yeah. So you're telling me, right? Like literally as Matt and I were ending our run on NXT Talk, they were changing it to the Shawn Michaels brand, right? We got about a few months of the Shawn Michaels brand, but honestly, like I've said on the Godfathers of Podcasting, like I've said on other shows on the network, on the main show, this crop of NXT is awesome. I am really, really, really liking this crop of NXT talent. Like again, look at that main event. Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes. Like, you know, we always do the comparison. If there's a big guy and a small guy, if there's a bodyguard, we always do the Shawn Michaels Diesel comparison. But honestly, this is the closest that you are going to get to those two. These two are going to be megastars. Like, they are Batman and Joker. Who is who? We have yet to see. But these guys are going to be Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Like, they're going to be connected for their entire career. And they had a great match, and Trick Williams, seeing him, develop into this star in front of our eyes. Like, this guy had horrendous matches in the Rainbow brand, NXT 2.0, when Matt and I were covering him. Horrendous matches. I was nervous. And then little by little, he was getting better. And now, you know, he just won a main event match with against Carmelo Hayes.
And I didn't know that until they were talking about it on Tuesday. And then today, even being reminded, the first time that two men of African-American descent have main evented an NXT show is incredible. And that's my one B for the show. And it was mostly the crowd as well. The guys wrestled really well, but the crowd made that. That whoop that trip is going to be, dude. Every time I hear that, whoop that trick. I know it's not Steve's favorite thing, and I'm really sorry to disagree with you, Steve, but that is going to be over like Rover.
It already is. Look at the few appearances that Trick Williams had on SmackDown. The crowd is into it. I was actually on, I think it was Instagram, and Brayden from Poison Rana, he posted a video, I think it was Davey, one of them. Mm. They posted a video in the arena when Trick Williams was coming out, and it was deafening loud in there. It was so cool to see how loud that actually was. Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, two guys to watch out for. But that is the tomorrow. We are here to talk about today of WWE. Brad, a couple things I want to talk about before we get into WrestleMania, and that is, okay, so new era. There's been a lot of talk about this new era. Is it called the Renaissance? Is it called the Triple H era? I don't give a shit what it's called. But today marked a new era in WWE, and it was so obvious from the get-go. Even their kickoff show wasn't the worst thing known to man. Like, those 2 hours, I had it in the background, but it didn't make me hate myself, you know, to actually watch that kickoff show.
It was something that was... It was something that you could have on in the background, and it was inoffensive, and there were tidbits you could get out of it was playing in the background. I started a little bit late. I scanned through it, and those times, it took me a while to catch up, because normally I'm just scanning through going, no, this was worth watching. So I don't know what is going on with WWE. I got to go back to the Hall of Fame last night, because I think that's where this started, which was Paul Levesque. Paul Heyman said, I'm a Paul Levesque guy. How long till can we get that as a t-shirt? Boris, you're the boss. Let's put that on a t-shirt before somebody else does and start sell some shirts.
I don't want to get sued. But what a start to the new era. And what I really did like about it was you could tell right away, and right from the very beginning, the then, now, forever was different. It just seemed refreshed. Even the panel, the kickoff panel with CM Punk and everyone, like, everything just seemed fresh. Everyone seemed energetic. And I think Paul Heyman, honestly, I think if we look back, you know, similar to Bret Austin and the double turn, really, you know, starting a lot of the Attitude Era things, Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech, like, outside of the fact that he actually said, this is the new era, blah, 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 but it just felt like it was a rah-rah, basically what Adam Copeland tried to do in Dynamite without being so blatant.
Mm. Yeah, and it was natural. And he pointed out things that we all agreed with. And Paul Heyman just sprinkling his little dust on Paul, the other Paul, the Paul that Stephanie did marry, not the one that she should have married, just gives him credibility. And the fact that you could, the other thing you mentioned was the panel. They were loose, Boris. They were relaxed. Like they, you didn't feel like somebody was going to get in their ear. And I think that's the other thing. When you go to the tonight on commentary, the guys were relaxed. Yeah. You feel that on all the broadcasts. You don't, you can't hear Vince McMahon screaming at them. I'm sure that what you're getting is Paul Heyman maybe fact-checking them a little bit, or Paul Levesque fact-checking them. But Paul's probably mostly in their ear going, hey, guys, you're doing a great job. Thank you for everything you do. And can you imagine being a WWE broadcaster and having somebody say, good job?
Right? It just kind of feel like a lot of the negativity has been like taken off of the company. Jay, 100% Jay Lambier. Heyman had his jabs to Vince during his speech. He did. But here we are. And that's absolutely fine, right? I kind of feel like everyone, it just feels a lot more comfortable, a lot happier. They want to go to work in the morning, and that's really cool to see. So this is, they've ushered in this new era, and this is the first WrestleMania under the full TKO era. And Brad, honest, you know, thumb up or thumb down, what are you going to give it?
Thumb up on everything that I've watched today, particularly NXT. Big shout out to Shawn Michaels. And this was a great first night of WrestleMania. It just was amazing. And yes, Tom, I am an hour ahead of Boris. I am on the East Coast. It is 12:30 in the morning. And Boris and I said it best, which was, even though I have to get up at work for work tomorrow morning, I'm happy because we are doing this. And I'm happy a bunch of you are seem to be watching along, because we couldn't do this. I could go to sleep right now, Boris. I need to like get this out of my system and talk about praise WWE for an amazing first night. Although I did make a stupid thing, and I will say this right now. I looked at my clock and it was like, it's like 11:20. We'll probably be on before midnight because, you know, the WWE, it's like they're going to end on time. No. That's one thing that will never change. And good for them. But it didn't feel like the main event dragged. It was great. This whole show was great, Boris.
The one thing, though, and we'll get to this when we talk about the actual show, is there was 37 minutes between the Gunther-Sami Zayn match and the main event. There was 37 minutes of nothingness in the ring, action in the ring happening. 37. So that's...
Okay. That was what? Just Roman and Rock's entrance? I mean, the other two seem like the videos, they sprinted
on. The entrances and everything, right? Roman's entrance took just over 5 minutes. These are the stats that I bring to you each and every single week here on Sunday Night's Main Event. So, yeah. But you know what? It didn't really feel like it dragged. And that's exactly it. Someone on the Facebook group says it didn't feel like the main event dragged. Are you kidding? I didn't feel like it dragged. It was fine.
It was fine for me too. And I enjoyed it a great deal. And I enjoyed this whole thing. I'm going to end up rewatching. I have friends coming over tomorrow night. And the specific request was, he's avoiding things. He's like, can we watch, sit down and watch this main event? He messaged me and he was like, can we watch this main event again? And I was like, so you watched tonight? He's like, yeah, this is a guy who doesn't normally, he doesn't have the network. He got it this time to watch tonight. So we're going to sit down. We're going to watch this match again tomorrow and get ready for night two. Boris, this is the best two-night WrestleMania so far. And I feel confident in saying this is going to be the best two-night WrestleMania. Other than maybe the pandemic, mostly because that saved us from all going crazy.
Yeah, exactly. I give it a thumbs up overall as well. You know, look, it had a great opener and a great main event. There was a couple things in the middle that kind of felt eh, but overall, I really did enjoy it. Did it feel like a WrestleMania? I don't know. This is something that I'll probably ask and answer myself tomorrow. But look, time flew by. I was on my phone, but not checking random things. I was actually like doing on the chat or on X or on whatever. So I wasn't wasting my time on my phone because what was on the TV was something I didn't like, right? So I'm going to give it a thumbs up overall. One last thing I want to talk about before we get to everything is the ads. Not only did we get the ring ad right in the center of the ring and the turnbuckles. But throughout the matches, and I didn't realize this, that there were going to be ads, like, you know, on the electric boards behind, on the, you know, and all that fun stuff. What did you think of that?
I think it's brilliant. I love it. They did it through NXT Stand and Deliver. And I think it's a way for wrestling fans to learn about other pop culture things, but it's also a revenue stream. It wasn't like it's not like we had like these giant inflatable mascots. Like even when they used a mascot this today, which was Knuckles for the new Knuckles series coming out, he was just in the background. Like it's what it's going to be. If we don't want little giant, like giant ad breaks in the middle of the show, we have to swallow this. Or if we don't want to pay a premium subscription for Netflix, like more so than we're already going to pay, then this is what we get.
I'm still convinced that Netflix is going to add a live TV tier. Just watch. They're going to add a live TV tier, and that's where WWE, that's where their boxing and live sports is going to be. So just we'll see what happens with Netflix there. Jay says the main event was intense. I was totally expecting The Rock to turn and thought the spear was going to be it, but I guess not. I think they're going to drag The Rock's turn past tomorrow. I know that he's filming a movie after this weekend. He'll be back at some point in the summer, and I think they're gonna wait for that to do the turn, just kind of, you know, let things let the dust settle. I think the focus tomorrow is 100% be on Cody and Roman. Again, we'll talk about that a little later. Brad, are you ready to talk about some WrestleMania?
I cannot believe that this show started 4 hours ago.
Yeah, same here. It's crazy. 4.5 hours ago at this point. 4 hours, 42 minutes from the time that we are recording this. So, like I said, the kickoff show. Probably the best kickoff show that we got. No matches, just a bunch of promos, some cool segments. Everyone seemed energized. Someone sent me a message, like, basically complaining about CM Punk. That's CM Punk for you. That's the CM Punk experience. But again, right? It was what it was.
And I'm a guy who's not a big CM Punk fan, even though you got the blame for that on the year-end shows. Listen, he was great. He did a good job of being himself and adding to the panel. And the only other thing that I see whenever I see these panels, whenever I see Big E, is I miss Big E. I really, that guy, I want him to be healthy, but boy, do I, if he could be healthy and wrestle, I would be over the moon excited.
Agreed, 100%. All right, let's start. With the main show, we got the new Then Now Forever Together video. Michael Cole welcomed viewers to the show while we had a nice overhead shot. Again, a lot of these new camera production things, we've seen this on Raw. We're seeing this on SmackDown. Not so much on SmackDown, actually. We're seeing this more on the Raw side and the PLEs. Not so much SmackDown, because I guess Fox still has quite the grip with on WWE. They did announce that they were sold out, whatever that means in WWE terms. And then Coco Jones was introduced by ring announcer Samantha Irvin, and she performed, interestingly enough, the national anthem as opposed to God Bless America, which was very interesting. That's a change right there. Someone sent me a text, someone who is in a VIP area. And they basically said that, like, it feels like they're doing a lot of things that Vince just flat out wanted to do. Paul Triple H, Levesque, comes out. He comes out to The Game by Motorhead, interestingly enough. Cole said that on the kickoff show, he believes the new era of WWE should be called the Triple H era. Triple H stands in the middle in the ring, and he says, "Man, I live for this." And you can just tell that he was just taking everything in. You can just tell that he was enjoying the moment, and that was great to see. So he says, "Man, I live for this. Welcome to a new time. Welcome to a new era. Welcome to WrestleMania." Brad, this is going to replace the traditional welcome to WrestleMania, isn't it?
It's going to be, he who shall not be named will be replaced in that. Yeah, I hear Big E is now doing Level Up, thanks to the comments. Thanks, Tom. I'm going to have to check that out. And just for the record, I did a little looking at WrestleTix on Twitter. They had 391 tickets available today, which you know, they're set up for 68,000. They said a slightly larger number because that's WWE. And in fairness, it's not that far off, because if you count your, like you said, your friend in the box, that might have actually been what it was if you count the people that are in the box. We're not getting these ridiculous exaggerations anymore from WWE.
We're just getting exaggerations, right?
Yeah, but that's, I expect that from promoters. I don't expect you to magically find 20,000 people. Two or three, fine.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So let's start first match of the night. Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch for the Women's World Championship. Brad, this match was fantastic. And kudos to Becky Lynch working through strep throat, working through dehydration and just feeling like shit. What a match. What an absolute match. And I truly do feel, and this match did feel like it was what I said it was going to be, the passing of the torch in a sense.
Yeah, and if Seth is legitimately needing some work done on a knee or back and he's going to take time off, it looks like his wife might be doing the same thing. And she did a fabulous job. Kudos to all of the wrestlers tonight wrestling in that weather. It was cold, and I'm sure the mat was hard. Becky looked awesome. She looked like she was in great shape. If you would have told me if I didn't know that she was fighting through a virus, it wouldn't have came up. But the highlight for me in this match was the beginning, was the entrance. The live performance added to Rhea Ripley's entrance so much, and her singing her song along just made her look like a monster.
Yeah, Motionless as White is a very interesting band. I actually saw them back in October here, and really fun band, really cool band. They're the new age of this emo screamo stuff. They're considered, I don't know what they're considered actually, it doesn't matter. Point is, good band. Yeah, it wasn't a torturous performance. I've seen so much worse.
And it fit. It wasn't like we had a musical performance and the divas came out and danced. We had a musical performance that enhanced the presentation of the character.
Yep. All right. So, yeah. So, essentially, Rhea Ripley is just looking to put this match away constantly. Looking to put this match away. And it kind of felt like Becky Lynch was fighting against that. Again, it kind of felt like Becky Lynch was in an uphill battle throughout the match.
Yeah, and she used the injury to Rhea very well, and apparently that's a legit injury she is working through. Yep. So for her to attack the arm worked out really well, but Rhea showing off her power, and there's got to be a lot of trust between these two women, because there's a few times, the spot in the corner, Boris, where she got a riptide and she bounced off the back of that quarter could have gone so badly, but Rhea took really good care of Becky in this match.
Especially one spot in particular, which I'll get to in a second. So Lynch goes to the middle rope. They trade punches with Ripley. She's also on the ropes. Lynch got the better of the punch back and forth, and she does a suplex. Lynch goes for a disarmer, but Ripley stood up, gets Lynch in the electric chair position to break the hold. Lynch performs a hurricanrana to pull Ripley over the ropes, but Ripley maintained the electric chair position when she was on the floor, and then she fell backwards on Lynch. That looked so painful, and I can't say I've seen that in a long time, but that looked very impressive, very dangerous, and like you said, Rhea Ripley took care of Lynch there.
Yeah, if she would have slipped on the way over the ropes, it could have ended badly for both of them. The kudos to both of them, because that had to be something that they... I can't imagine you rehearsing that very many times. But then the balance is incredible for both ladies. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. All right, back inside the ring, Ripley performs a top rope frog splash, which looked awesome, a la Eddie Guerrero. Ripley tried to follow up with a superplex, but Lynch fights out of it, goes for a manhandle slam. Ripley gets out of it. She does a version of the riptide on the corner, then hits a second riptide right in the middle of the ring for the 1-2-3. Rhea Ripley defeats Becky Lynch in 17 minutes and 5 seconds to retain the Women's World Championship.
Perfect amount of time for these women. Great way to start off the show. And probably, other than maybe the main event, this was my favorite match. The ladder matches I'm usually very impartial to, but there's just something about the storytelling in this match that made this match perfect. And Rhea... Yeah, it kind of shocked me, Boris, because I'm pretty sure I said in the prediction show, I thought the torch was being passed, but we now have arguably the most dominant woman in professional wrestling.
Yeah, 100%. All right, we get a Netflix preview for Rebel Moon Part 2, which no one's going to watch. And then we jump into the six-pack challenge for the World Tag Team Championships. Judgment Day's Damian Priest and Finn Balor versus DIY's Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, who had the greatest fucking entrance of the night. That DIY DX entrance was amazing.
Yeah, and given their close relationship with both Triple H and Shawn Michaels, it was just great. I'm sorry that things didn't turn out well for them the way that they could have in this match, but hey, they got the way we hoped. They got a great entrance at least.
Exactly. All right. Versus the New Day's Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods looking like his TNA days, coming out like Apollo Creed there.
Yeah, and it was good to see the New Day in this match, and I'm sure they were key anchors in this match when it came to like planning spots. Boy, oh boy, though, you're going to get to the champions. I love their outfits the most out of all of the characters in this match.
Oh, yeah. Versus Awesome Truth, The Miz and R-Truth versus A-Town Down Under's Austin Theory and Grayson Waller versus New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate in a six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles, where each set needs to be taken down before the match ends. So, with that stipulation in place, we kind of knew that, or had a suspicion, that the belts were finally going to be split up. Jay, we need a count for how many times Cole brought up how cold it was. It was almost like the running joke. It didn't really annoy me. I know it really annoyed some people in the group chat, but I think overall, it is what it is.
I'm sure for those guys who were sitting out there, people that were out there sitting there on commentary, they have every right to complain about how cold it was. They were freezing.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so what did you think of this match, Brad?
I got to say, I, for the most part, enjoyed it, other than I am stuck with two idiots as my tag team champions.
And we'll get to that right now. All right, so Priest was hit with a double team move by Truth and Miz. Gargano super kicks Priest, and then Ciampa hits Priest with a pedigree. Truth suggested that DIY duo go after the Raw title belts while he and the Miz would go after the SmackDown belts. The teams made a play for the belts, but they were knocked down by Waller and Theory. Waller climbs up the ladder and pulls the SmackDown tag team title belts, and they won those titles.
Yeah, I feel like I was being punished. If this was pretty deadly in this spot, I would have been so excited. But it showed their smarts, because they both could try to climb, but you had one guy go up and the other guy's there on the ground. Like, you see Austin Theory, to his credit, looking around like, where is the attack coming from? So that was probably the smartest way to play this whole thing. However, this was really early in this match.
7 minutes, I thought, 30 seconds.
Yeah, and the match went on for another 10 minutes or so.
The match went on for another 10 minutes, exactly.
Yeah, and so it was incredible that this was this fast, and then we got 10 more minutes of action, and the biggest spots yet to come.
The biggest spots yet to come, but the funniest and actually my favorite spot of the entire match wasn't even anything dangerous, and it was R-Truth signaling for the tag, just being typical R-Truth. Miz gets the hot tag, R-Truth goes full John Cena. That was actually hilarious.
And then him pinning his opponent and getting down. And then it's like, I won! No way. Yep. No, the match isn't over. So when does R-Truth like mostly finish up wrestling and we send him down to NXT and he can just hang out there and teach guys? Like, you don't have to do stupid things.
You do remember we did this, right? We tried this. And that's when he got injured against Grayson Waller.
Yeah, let's not do that again. But it's the MJF rule. He gets the most out of the least, and he got a ton out of this. And I don't think R-Truth took a big bump. Him and Miz did not take any major bumps in this match at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things about, it's a great summary of their career as well, right?
Well, yeah, and then I think about the New Catch Republic, that one spot where one member of the New Catch Republic gets thrown into the other one, and boy, I hope Tyler Bate's okay, because it looked like when he came straight down at that and then his knees buckled, I was like, that guy's, no, this, he's not okay.
Yeah. All right, Bate and Dunn performed a double-team powerbomb that sent Waller over the top rope onto a ladder that was leaning between the apron and the broadcast table. That looked like it hurt so much.
Yeah, and thank God that that was wood. I mean, you could see it kind of split. Those ladders, so we may need them reinforced, like when Big Show used to wrestle in ladder matches, because that the other scary spot, Boris, comes later in the match when that you could see that that ladder has a broken leg and they're trying to do a spot on it. That was terrifying.
Yeah. Having said, 100%. That like at the close to the end of the match, that did look really, really scary. All right, so Ciampa ends up wedged between on a ladder that was on the ropes and another ladder. Woods drops an elbow, and I honestly thought it hurt Woods a lot more than Ciampa.
Yeah, and the distance was impressive, but the fact that he just kind of came up short, yeah, it looked like his elbow. Speaking of guys who are banged up, Woods is definitely banged up after this.
Yep. All right. After a little bit, we see Gargano performing a leap over the top rope. He puts Pete Dunne through a table with a rolling or a tornado DDT. Ciampa cut off bait near the top of the ladder, and he does an air raid crash from the ladder onto the mat.
Yeah, another guy with neck issues. Boris, was that the scariest spot, or is the scariest spot yet to come?
Oh, man. I think that for me, just Ciampa knowing how battered his neck is, I think that for me was like the moment where I'm like, oh, shit. I hope this guy is okay. R-Truth enters the ring and was alone when he sets up a ladder. Truth climbs a ladder and is about to get the title belt, but JD McDonagh, a.k.a. Head, shows up, pulls him down. Cole explained that there are no DQs. McDonagh helped Balor to his feet, pulls him up the ladder. Woods cuts Balor off, and then Kingston works him over with a chair shot. The New Day tips the ladder over, causing McDonagh to flip over the ropes, crashing through tables on the floor.
Yeah, McDonagh came in for the big spot, and from one of our Facebook users yelling the ref, you could hear the ref audibly say, get rid of that ladder, which was great. And Priest, anchored that spot, and just, you know, him and R-Truth, that was the only weird spot, was when he grabs the ladder from R-Truth, but he had the smarts to turn around and kick R-Truth just to be like, hey, man. And you know what? The commentators covered for that, too. They did a great job of saying, yeah, he just thinks he's part of the Judgment Day still.
Yeah, exactly. I like that a lot. Okay, so Priest does a razor's edge on Kingston on top of a chair. Priest climbs a ladder, smiled at the booing crowd, reaches for the belts. The Miz rush up the other side to cut Priest off. Miz gets one hand on the title belts. Priest went for a south of heaven. Looked a little awkward. Looks like he just kind of pushed him. Priest sets up another ladder, and he got hands on one of the belts, but Truth tipped this one over. Truth performs an attitude adjustment that sent Priest over the top rope to the floor. Truth sets up the ladder, and he finally gets his WrestleMania moment as he pulls down both belts to win the Raw Tag Team titles in 17 minutes, 25 seconds.
His first ever WrestleMania win was what they kept saying on commentary, which makes me go, wait, didn't he pin somebody for the 24/7 title at some point during that? But even then, nothing this big, and they may not hold those titles very long, but has anybody deserved the spot more than Truth this year?
100% no. Since his return at Survivor Series, he's been just on the streak of his career, just tearing it up, having so much fun. On the Facebook group, someone says, I generally like R-Truth, but sometimes his comedy is misplaced. I thought this match was one of those places.
I strongly disagree, because he made this match and we were waiting for him to win. This is what we've been wanting for a while now. And now the titles are split. We have two teams on two different shows, and there's enough tag teams for the first time in WWE in forever that we can support two tag divisions.
Yep. All right, let us move on to the next match, which is Dominic Mysterio and Santos Escobar versus Rey Mysterio and Andrade. It was the Latino Civil War.
Yes, and our hints of a Latino supergroup is there. I stand by my statements from last night, which is I don't know if I should be the one, as a gringo, being the one that comments on Latino supergroups, Boris. I'm going to leave that in your area of expertise. But this match was way better than it had any right to be, given the fact that, I mean, Rey Mysterio is still amazing, but he's still 50-something years old.
Yeah, he looked rejuvenated. You know, he looked great in this match. Dominic, what can we say about Dominic? Not only is his mic work just getting better and better every week, but his in-ring work is, if you compare his match with Ray last year to the tag match this year, was awesome. And seeing my boy, Santos Escobar, in the ring with Andrade. If you recall on NXT Talk, I would constantly rip on Andrade, saying Santos Escobar is the best Latino wrestler, period. You know, and Matt would always complain, saying Andrade is. And seeing them in the ring together, that's beautiful.
And they were great together. Some of, like, the early on in this match, Boris, there's a spot where Ray sits on Santos, or on Andrade's shoulders, and they do the double crossbody. That was great. And the way the guys caught them was also great. There was, the other thing that was great about this match was the time to shine.
Maybe Otis should have learned how to catch people.
Oh, that is, I still haven't seen enough. Laugh,
but that was like, I literally yelled when I saw Tozawa just like overshoot Otis.
Well, and I don't know if that was necessarily Otis's fault or if that was like the hucking that was done. Meanwhile, yeah. Poor Tozawa. That man should have a job for life after that spot. It's like, you know what? You don't ever have to worry about employment. You are going to be here. We're taking care of you, young man.
He's lasted this long. All right, Elektra climbs on the apron, and she's shouting at the referee as a Latina would. Vega pulled Elektra to the floor and then hits her with a moonsault. Only I can say that. There was a series of dives that was capped off with Wilde being launched from the middle rope onto Angel and Humberto, who were very far away. This is very similar to what they did in NXT a few weeks ago. Months ago, I should say. All right, so then two masked men shows up, help Mysterio, who then hit Dom and Escobar with 619s. Andrade took out Dom and Rey pinned Escobar in 11 minutes, 5 seconds. After the match, the masked men celebrated with the LWO, and it was revealed to be Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey, future brother-in-law to one, Taylor Swift.
And now we have a link from Taylor Swift to WrestleMania for another year that she can show up here. Now, her brother-in-law, you know, maybe they're going to say, hey, man, you like running around like a crazy person. You know what? You may not be able to play football anymore, but we can put you into a performance center and he can sing. He can have his sister-in-law sing him to the ring, Boris.
Oh, dear God.
This was fantastic, and the local little flavor by having the football players come in was just a nice little add-on at the end, and a happy ending for the good guys. I did not think that Rey Mysterio was going to win this match.
Same here. I honestly thought this was going to be Dom's to win to set up like the rubber match down the line, possible retirement match for Mysterio. Had no inkling of mine. Also, 100%, I thought somebody was going to turn on Rey Mysterio. Didn't see that.
Yeah, one of our Facebook users feels like the same way you do, the Swifty leaving.
I love Taylor Swift. I love her 100%, whatever, but, you know.
My prediction is not happening. No, but it was great. They had a wonderful experience of a match, and there's just something, it was something nice. It was a nice thing. However, this does mean that Judgment Day, all the men in Judgment Day have lost their matches. And only Mommy is successful. And will this change the power dynamic?
For now, only Rhea Ripley has a title in Judgment Day. For now.
For now. Yes, and if not, but does that currently change the power dynamic? I'm waiting. I'm expecting on the pre-show tomorrow to have some sort of Judgment Day fallout scene play out.
See, that's the beauty about this year's WrestleMania, like with it being two nights. I kind of feel like there is stories that are expanding both nights. The Judgment Day is one. Obviously, the Bloodline Cody Seth stuff. You know, is Seth ready for Drew McIntyre? Like, they've done a really good job of telling some stories that can be told throughout both nights.
And the tag titles, the fact that the tag titles were defended on the first night, you're going to get to see probably both sets of champions on the second night. I would not be surprised to see Waller and Theory walk out their boy, Logan Paul, tomorrow night with those title straps on, all three of those guys. And maybe that's a faction that falls out of this, is the fact that we now have Logan Paul's posse all have titles.
A-Town Down Under Prime.
Oh no, you said it. Now it's happening.
It's happening. It's happening. Manifesting that bad boy into the world. Something I wish I didn't manifest into this world was Samantha Irvin introducing Lil Wayne as the greatest rapper of all time. We can do a hard 15 on that statement alone, but we're going to move forward because unfortunately, what happened after the brother versus brother confrontation that so many people were looking forward to was actually, in my opinion, the worst match of the night and a little bit of a disappointment. But why are we shocked? The buildup to this match was not ideal.
And these guys are better as a team. They were not as good as that. Good point by one of our Facebook users. Rhea Ripley, let's hope she doesn't get sick because she was really close to Becky.
Yeah. Right.
I've had strep. I do not want strep ever again. And yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen. Lil Wayne did not add to this entrance, which was weird because I thought, like, when I saw him come out and then I heard that, I thought we were getting a remix of Jay's theme song. But no, he didn't add anything, dude.
Yeah. He sounded like a venereal disease, he called it. Yep.
This whole match, I think we could do a hard 3.5 minutes. This match was a lot of super kicks, and it was nothing I'm going to talk about tomorrow.
It was that this match, considering that it featured the Usos, was slow as F. Let's just get to the important part. Cole said Jay was about to hit a death blow, but he opted to show compassion. Jimmy said he's sorry. He offers a handshake while on his knees. Jay shook his brother's hand and helped him up, but Jimmy pushed him and then super kicks him. Jimmy hits a top rope splash for a near fall. Jay comes back with a spear. Top rope splash gets the win. If Jimmy, Jimmy had won, that would have been so bad. But it doesn't matter. This match was just eh. It was just eh.
Yeah, I don't think it helps either of these guys. And really, it shows the limitation of both Jimmy and Jay as singles wrestlers. I hope for their sakes that the Bloodline gets reunited and all three of these guys are back together, the two of them plus their brother, because these two need to be a tag team. While Jay is over, his spot on the card will not survive because he can't wrestle his way out of a paper bag.
Undertaker. Oh no, I was just reading the comments. Undertaker versus Undertaker moved faster. 100% right. Another Facebook user says, "I would have thought this would have been more intense, given the bro versus bro thing." Exactly, and given the fact that like the pace that we know that these guys can work is just I don't know what they were doing. It just felt like very awkward.
We are 1-for-3 on brother versus brother matches, and I'm waiting for the Facebook comments to get mad. Brett and Owen, yes. Hardy Boys, no. That match was not good either. That had a great ending. It had the twist of hate at the end. It was, yeah. Tom said it. It's hard. It's hard. They're twins. It's unnatural. Like, I have no idea how two twins don't have more chemistry in the ring together. It was, there was just something about it that just felt off.
Yep, 100%.
Sean and Marty. This reminded me of Sean and Marty, actually. The couple matches of theirs. I never thought either any of their matches were very good together. It's just sometimes tag teams need to go in opposite directions and not.
Exactly. All right. Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi versus Asuka, Kairi Sane, and Dakota Kai. Oh, man. This match. This match was short. This match was only 8 minutes long, and it did exactly what they intended it to, and that show Jade Cargill as the star, which she was. She got the pin. But outside of that, it was just, you know, kind of random.
It was kind of a bunch of spots. The only thing that I didn't like in this match, it did its job. There was one spot. If Asuka would have hit her other partner with the mist, fine. But her hitting Kairi is weird because they're still tag champs. And yeah, I mean, at this point, technically, I think Jade should be the tag team champion by herself.
Belair sets up Sane for a KOD. Asuka broke it up. Asuka sprays Sane with the mist. Belair whips Asuka with the one whip she gets a year. She knows how to take advantage of that whip. She does a KOD. Jade Cargill hits a mated on Kai for the win. 8 minutes, 5 seconds. There we go.
And the best part about this probably was the entrances on both ends. The Kabuki Warrior damage roll entrance was awesome. And the other three, the combo entrance where they came down on the platform, was just fantastic. Can you explain to me the hat thing? Because Naomi's like adopted hats. Why is she like, that's the funniest thing. Last night they're all wearing cowboy hats. Tonight Naomi has like a glow hat on. I'm
that she took off. She's going through seconds.
It was just, it was the whole, the entrance was the best part of this match. And I think whatever happens coming out of this, Jade and Bianca are going to be separated. Like, they're going to be on separate brands.
You think so?
See that, or they're winning the tag titles.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, that's a good spot for Jade. You know what? The one good thing about this match was they put these women, this was a safe way to debut Jade.
Yeah. All right, let's just move on. There's so much.
Wait, hold on. I got one more thing for you, the worst. Hold on.
All right.
Now Jade is 1-0 at WrestleMania. How long is the streak going to last? I'm saying like 15 years.
I'll be shocked if she's around for 5 WrestleManias.
Well, and no wonder. If she looks like that and if she can act at all, somebody's going to be casting her in something. Because yeah. She's fantastic. And welcome to WWE, Jade. I'm really waiting for, this whole time I've been waiting for a run in by our friend The Mouth. Just come whim sprinting across the screen and yell at us, how can you be saying nice things about Jade?
All right. Let's go to the back. Sami Zayn was standing backstage with his wife and child. Zayn's wife kissed him and Sami kissed his son. Zayn told his wife to keep their son backstage because he didn't want to see what was going to happen. Chad Gable approached Zayn after his family left. Zayn assumed Gable was coming to the ring with him, but Gable told him that he had to do this by himself, like he always did. Very Zen moment. I really did like that. Gable shook Zane's hand, and then Zayn walked through the area that leads to the stage, and then Kevin Owens was waiting for Zayn before he hits the gorilla position. Owens shoves Zayn and then hugs him, fires him up with a slap. Zayn was shown walking through the gorilla position before making his entrance. I love these interactions. I love the KO interaction was amazing, and I just love the production on this camera.
Sean. And one thing that you skipped over, just Chad said, you owe me one. You owe me a favor. And this is going to lead, if this leads to a Sammy and Chad feud, I'm down. That those matches will be amazing. This match is, wow, like the amount of physicality in this match. We knew, like, listen, it's Walter, it's Gunther, whatever you want to call the guy. He hits like a Mack truck, and Sami Zayn could take a ton of punishment. At points in this match, it was hard to watch, but boy, did they put on a show. This is the Drew McIntyre Sheamus match from last year. It is this match that out of all the matches I've seen this weekend, this is the one I'm probably going to want to go back to watch.
Yeah, this was like kind of like my, in the middle of the card, outside of the opener and the main, I really did enjoy this match a lot. What I really did like about this match is the fact that, you know, we know both of these guys can go at 10, but they kind of kept it at a nice 7 throughout the match, but told an incredible story that led to the finish. And that's Gunther just absolutely dominating and kicking the shit out of Sami Zayn.
And to the point that it was uncomfortable and awkward when he's interacting with Sammy's wife, it was amazing. I mean, we have one of the people saying Sammy had the match of the night, Sammy and Gunther. But yeah, as he's doing those splashes over and over and over again, at the double powerbomb, it just gets awkward and to the point where you're like, okay, put him out of his misery. Come on, Sammy. No, it's not worth it. And Michael Cole also needs a pat on the back when he's yelling at the referee, do your damn job. Like he's not going to quit. Take care of him. Like that added a lot to the feeling of this match.
Yeah, it was great. And anytime that Sami Zayn started mounting a comeback, Gunther would just literally chop him down. When he went for a haluva kick, hits him with a huge clothesline, turns him inside and out, and then he powerbombs him twice, covers him. No matter what, Sami Zayn tried to do. Gunther had a response, and Sami just would not quit. And that is essentially the story of this. It was the ultimate David and Goliath match, and it was so well done. It was nice and slowly paced. It was so freaking good. Yeah, I thought the commentary was good on that match from the Facebook group, from the Facebook chat. Exactly. It was so well done. Just remember, if you're listening to this on podcast, you can watch us live tomorrow night, WrestleMania Sunday. All you need to do is go to Facebook, X, or YouTube, and you can watch us live and participate in the live chat that's happening. And later on, you can even call, quote unquote, call in. All right. So, like I said, this was just an absolute, just an assault from Gunther to Sami Zayn. You know, Gunther puts Zayn down. He invites Zayn's wife to enter the ring and help him up. Gunther powerbombs Zayn, turns his focus back to Zayn's wife with Cole and Graves calling on the referee to just call the match off. Gunther performs a top rope splash, then went up top and hit the move again. Gunther went to the apron and gave this beautiful smile while suggesting that Zayn's wife throw in the towel. Zayn starts firing himself up. Gunther went to the ropes and was hit with a haluva kick. Zayn then picks up Gunther and does a lethal looking brain buster from the ropes onto the turnbuckles. This gets Gunther stunned. He stumbles to his feet. He was leaning in the corner, and then Zayn blasts him with another haluva kick. Zayn followed that up with a third haluva kick. Cole asked the viewers if they believe in miracles, because Zayn covers Gunther and he ends the 666-day streak of Gunther to win the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, should have known it wasn't gonna be his night when it's a 666 as your number. It was an incredible ending, and it was a feel-good moment which we desperately needed on this card at this point, given the main event was still to come. And the way we kind of all knew the main event was gonna go, we needed this happy ending. If you would have had Kevin Owens come out there and hug him, it would have been great too. But at this point, he didn't need it. When he went over to his wife, like, there was a lot of dust down in my viewing area tonight. It was beautiful just to have that beautiful moment. And now all I want to see is the cameras see him and his son in the back, and he's going to give that title to his son. And there's going to be something beautiful about his kid running around with that title. And given what Kevin Owens said this week about the title as well, like, it just, you know, he doesn't want to win it again because he's tied with Owen Hart. Yeah. So it's just the fact that it's Sammy, and Sammy got a WrestleMania moment when I don't know. Okay. The only other thing I'll say, Boris, is I don't still think this makes up for Montreal.
100% it doesn't. 100% it doesn't. But he finally got his moment. He finally got his big singles win. He can do it. Adrian, we did it. You know, it's kind of funny because, like, you know, I bet you the kids in El Generico's orphanage were so happy for Sami Zayn.
El Generico was somewhere. He also probably shed a tear underneath his mask when he saw Sami embrace his wife with that title. It was... Yeah, El Generico is somewhere crying for Sami Zayn. And maybe we'll finally get that picture I've always wanted, which is Sami Zayn going to visit the orphanage and bringing the title there for the kids.
Y'all got to get over Montreal. I'm over it. It's the Smack Daddies that keep bringing it up. One in particular. Hey,
listen, one in particular, the one who's not here tonight. And in fairness, Greg has every reason to be upset with that. Like, he had convinced in his head that Sami Zayn was going to win that match. And the whole time, I'm like, dude, he's not winning.
I don't know why he was that convinced.
He's a Habs fan. The only thing worse than a Habs fan is a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Leafs fan. Yeah, exactly. They all believe they're going to win every year. And it's like, guys, this is not how this works. And the comment that was directed at Greg. Yeah, Greg is somewhere. He can't defend himself. But I will say, he's not wrong. It would have been a great ending, but it's not the story we're telling. And no matter what anybody says, the story that we're telling, especially given what we just got in our main event, Boris, was amazing. Now, you are right. There was a long wait here. An awkward wait.
37 minutes between that and the main event We're going to skip. I'm not going to make you wait 37 minutes. Raw GM, Adam Pearce, SmackDown GM, Nick Aldis come out. They announced that 72,543 people were in attendance. Let us just go to the main event. The Rock and Roman Reigns with Paul Heyman versus Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Brad, I'm not going to go blow by blow. No point in doing that. Almost everyone who listens to this watched the show. What did you think of this match?
It built perfectly. It was just enough drama. There's a few times when I bit for like hot tags that didn't happen. It was perfect. It was exactly what we needed. They eventually got us all the bite with the point at the very end, the double pedigrees, Boris. I really thought, oh my gosh, they are going to give him the win. And no, we didn't get that. Even Boris, how about the spear? Was that another point where you're like, oh, maybe they are going to win?
Look, yeah. So, okay, I'll be 100% honest. When they did the double pedigree and the spear on the Rock, I'm like, okay, that would be weird. Cody's going to lose tomorrow. But I just knew in my heart of heart, my gut of guts knew that the Rock and Roman were going to win in some shape or form. Remember, this is Infinity War. This is, Empire Strikes Back. The bad guys win this round.
This is the into the Spider-Verse, or the second one of the three. It is, you're right, this is our bad guys win. And the moment that they took Seth out of the match, and then they accomplished so much with this match, because now Drew McIntyre has Seth with a bad knee that's worse than it was, and Cody got the hell beat out of him tonight. And the bad guys won. And The Rock is, like, he's one of the few wrestlers who has main evented WrestleManias in four different decades, as they mentioned on commentary. He's also one of the few wrestlers who's main evented WrestleManias in four different decades and won in four different decades.
Yep. I'm going to probably be in the minority, and this is a Facebook comment. I'm going to probably be in the minority, but I thought this match was way too overbooked, and the whole don't count or you're fired thing took me out of it. But that was expected, honestly. Look, it's no secret that The Rock is part of the TKO board, and I like how they're integrating that. Why wouldn't he say that if he hates this guy so much? There's no reason. And again, like we were talking about earlier, there was a lot of seeds being planted for tomorrow. Seth, how is Seth going to feel tomorrow? Is this going to affect his title match tomorrow? Cody, you know, he's been punched in the gut, literally. How is he going to come back from this tomorrow? Can he come back from this tomorrow? That's the thing, right? Like, they're at their lowest points. We're going to talk about both of these guys and both of their matches tomorrow. We'll quickly cover tomorrow night's matches and talk about things that
The Facebook board is blowing up right now. Dustin Rhodes hint to being at WrestleMania. I hope he's there. At the very least, I just would like to see that hug at the very end. And then why not just make this a DQ match? The point of that was
The Rock using his power.
Yeah, and they couldn't prepare for a no DQ match. Because if they could prepare for no DQ match, they could have put weapons and things underneath the ring. And that's also for tomorrow. Because what we're going to get tomorrow is Cody is going to realize I can't go into this fight and assume that I can fight fair and fight without getting a little dirty. And that's when we're going to get the Avengers to assemble. That is the great hope that we all live in for tomorrow night, that all of those people that have been wronged will, as we said in our preview show, will come out. The Avengers assemble. We get our endgame scene where we have all of the characters from the WWE universe line up, the portals all open from all over the arena, and we get our moment. I mean, literally, if they could put portals in, that would make that absolutely perfect. But I'm just expecting run in after run in after run in after run in, which is also great.
As long, and Donnie said this, he's the one who said that as on the Godfathers of Podcasting, he brought up a great point that no one outside of Cody should be touching Roman Reigns, or else that win is going to be tainted.
Yeah, he needs them to help him fight off the other members of the bloodline. He needs to do the thing on his own. You're 100%. Where could I hear such a quality podcast by such a brilliant wrestling mind? Where do we find these kind of things, Boris?
You can find them over on the SNME Radio Podcasting Network. Just go to your podcasting app and search for Sunday Night's Main Event. But before all that, before you do that, let's finish talking about the show. I do know that we have Tom waiting on the line. So Reigns gets... got Cody in the ring. He works him over with some punches. Cody fires back. They trade blows. They go back and forth. And I love this sequence. And I do want to talk about the sequence. We already talked about the few times that we thought Cody could possibly win. But I love when he hits all these crossroads. And then you just... the camera does this quick pan. And you see this huge lash. Mm. Or hear the huge lash that Rock gives Cody. Like, that sounded ridiculous.
Oh, and they had to go into this match knowing, hey, I'm going to be welted up. And Kumet, you know what? It sounded ridiculous. Wait until tomorrow when we see it. Because that was skin. That was bare skin.
Oh, I'm sure there's...
Cody's going to be wearing battle wounds.
I'll check it
But the battle wounds, dude, it's going to look... he's going to look beat up. And that's something I never thought about with this two-night WrestleMania and the way they structured it, is that Cody is going to look like hell tomorrow. Because he got the hell beat out of him. And it adds to your heroes, underdog heroes coming up. And Seth's a whole different kettle of fish. He's done, dude.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. So Reigns spears Cody. Rock holds out his hand. Reigns is kind of like, all right, you know, you're the Rock. So, but I'm going to say reluctantly tags him in. Would you agree with that?
Yes, and I think there's the hints of the tension between them that may come out tomorrow. But it was way more poignant to have The Rock beat him, because if Cody ends up with this title, you now have that card to be played in the back at some point. Yep. Do we have sometime you need a bump in a pay-per-view, or you want a big start to Netflix for the Royal Rumble next year? Cody Rhodes versus The Rock for the title at Royal Rumble next year.
I can see that 100%. All right, Cody waits for The Rock to get up. He does the Rock Bottom. He looks at the camera, makes the throat slash gesture, holds up the index finger, acknowledging, and then he hits Cody with the People's Elbow to get the win in 44 minutes, 35 seconds, and all hope looks to be lost for Cody Rhodes, as now tomorrow night, it is Bloodline Rules. Now, that's that.
Cody was awesome in selling this, and Seth as well. Seth sitting there, like, between holding his head and holding his knee, he did a great job of putting this over. Boris, this is the best use of the two-night WrestleMania. That is the big thing coming out of this, because it leaves us with this incredible cliffhanger for tomorrow.
That's exactly it. Like I said, they're able to build this in such a way that you care about both nights. There's a through story through both nights, and some matches have that through story. So before we turn things over to you, the listener, let us talk about night two WrestleMania. But just remember, patrons, you already have the link. You can just click that link and join the queue. And if you're just watching, send me a DM. Go to the chat. I'm pretty sure I already have you on some form of social media. So let's go through tomorrow's card. Quickly, the Pride, Final Testament, don't need to talk about that one. And I say because we've talked enough about it on the WrestleMania preview. LA Knight versus AJ Styles. This match I'm kind of, you know, still kind of looking forward to. Logan Paul, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton.
That could be the best match of the night. The three, outside of the fact the drama in the main event, these three guys are going to go out there, and Owens is going to jump off something really high, and Orton is going to hit an RKO out of nowhere. So and Logan Paul is incredible in this situation.
I can't believe you dissed Pride versus Final Testament. Like I said, just listen to our preview show. We talked, Greg. You can hear what Greg has to think about that show. I don't know why. I don't mean to pick on the guy.
There's nothing wrong with that match. It's just it's one too many matches. You know what? I would have loved that match way more if it was on SmackDown this week.
U.S. Champion. Oh yeah, we already talked about that match.
Yep.
About that match, I think that A-Town Down Under are going to make an appearance in that match, and like we've said, Logan Paul is going to retain. Logan Paul is going to come out with his brother on Netflix with that U.S. title before he gets murdered by Mike Tyson. WWE Women's Championship, Io Sky versus Bayley.
The only question is, are we going to get Wacky Inflatable Men? Are we going to get Bayley's old theme song? Well, or remix, maybe?
We're not getting Hayley Williams, unfortunately. She's not going to make the appearance. She was supposed to sing Bayley out. I forget which song Bayley loves. But yeah, Hayley Williams from Paramore can't make that show. You know that I interviewed her once? I used to do this online radio show on Punk Radio Cast with a friend of mine, and we used to do the the review show. This is like 2009, 2010. And like my first or second episode, yeah, we interviewed Hayley Williams.
Dude, that's amazing. And she would have been added something to this, but they're going to have something special, if especially if Bayley is going to complete the Four Horsewomen quad, because she's the only one of the women who hasn't won a world title at WrestleMania.
Yep. All right, this leads us into Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Let's talk about this match. Seth Rollins is beat up, battered. Drew McIntyre is nice and refreshed. I have this strange feeling that this match could be a squash.
It would be amazing, especially given that we have a lot of matches tomorrow night and we've had a long night of wrestling and a long weekend of wrestling. Squash him, and but there has to be enough damage done so that we can get the cash in. Or Judgment Day just does what Judgment Day does, which is swarms the ring, beats up Drew, and pins him.
Are we going to get a cash in?
Yes or no? Oh, for sure. I think I have a bad feeling that he has to cash in, because if not, then the balance of power in the Judgment Day has tipped and Rhea Ripley is the leader. And that feud with Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley has to continue.
Yeah. If it's a squash, that would be amazing. Along with, I think Bayley versus Io could be the sleeper match tomorrow. I agree. And yeah, if it's a squash, I'm kind of liking this idea of a squash, right? Especially if he is going to tend to his injuries in like IRL. I think that's going to happen. But I do think that a cash in is going to happen in some shape or form. I'll be shocked if it doesn't.
Our Facebook user is like, no, please don't cash in. Listen, it would really help the Drew McIntyre character to have him only have his second WrestleMania moment only to be taken away by especially if Judgment Day screws him. Like, they beat him up and basically give it to Damian. Like, and it would also help that whole feud with Damian and Mommy, because she won her match all by herself and Damian needed a bunch of help.
Yeah. All right, then this leads us into the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. I've said it so many times. Okay, dude,
is it over an hour? Does this match go the full hour?
I think it's going to be at least 45 minutes.
Well, that's the measuring stick from tonight. Well, we're just so under 45 minutes for our main event tonight. So the question is over under an hour. I'll put that up to those of you watching there. Anybody watching the Facebook users, comment away. Are we going to get an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours? How long is this match going to be? When does Boris start his post show tomorrow? I'm going to say, Boris, you're going to be 12:30 before you're starting tomorrow, our time, 11:30 Eastern.
Yeah, I agree with Boris. 45 minutes sounds about right. Boom, there you go. I think that's the kind of it. I think 45 minutes is the sweet spot that we're going to get. Sweet spot. You know that, okay, here's the thing. Are we, and hold me to this tomorrow or Monday, whenever we talk next, is this match going to be overbooked? Like, how overbooked is this main event going to be, and are we going to complain about it?
We shouldn't complain about it as long as Cody wins. If Cody loses, though, I don't even want to be anywhere near that arena. It's going to be Hulk Hogan and the NWO.
By the way,
things fly.
If Roman wins, we might just have an aftercast.
If Roman wins,
the Facebook group might mysteriously be turned off for about 12 hours.
Yeah, Boris will need some caffeine by the end of the show tomorrow night. Yeah. Well, I think Twitter should be turned off altogether. Wrestling Twitter, everyone should just swear off social media for 24 hours. And then we should all just wait another year for the story to be completed. Because let's be honest, Cody is just going to add another volume to this book if it takes a year.
Yep. And I'm probably in the minority here, but I'm hoping. You know what? Okay, so another thing that I wanted to bring up. I'm hearing more and more. This is now eerily similar to last year, 24 hours before Night 2's main event, before everyone was saying, Cody. The past day or so, I've been seeing so many people say, you know what? Roman is going to win. Did you hear that crowd in the main event? I don't know if that's indication of the WWE universe or if it's just Philadelphia, but Cody was getting
boos. Rock fans. Yeah, and Rock fans. Listen, I think there's a better chance that we get Rock and Hogan at SummerSlam Hogan and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam than Cody losing tomorrow. Because that would be amazing. Quinn, let's go for it. Hogan's training for one last match, brother. We can have Hogan versus Roman for the title.
Him and Flair can do something with Conrad.
The final match ever for both of them. Roman can't win. There's an eclipse on Monday. Society will fall. That's the best comment. Because that is... Wrestling Twitter will be unbearable for 48 hours if he does lose, because at this point we've all put our, I wouldn't say we all have, but there is this sense that Roman has to fall at some point. And I also think that there is coming a point where Roman is, he's too famous. Oh, here we go.
You read it. This Cody yours.
So what would be more disappointing, Cody losing or Zayn losing in Montreal? I'll leave that one for Greg, but I will say Cody losing will be, for me personally, would be more. But Greg definitely would. I think Greg might be cheering tomorrow. If he might be the only one, he'll be ready for the aftercast tomorrow. Greg will show up, make a special run in and be like, haha, now you all know how I feel.
Oh, man. No, like I said, even the week leading into WrestleMania, everyone was saying Cody. But now I'm hearing more and more people say Roman. It's very interesting. Very interesting. I would say it's almost 50-50 in regards to who people think is actually going to win. But if Cody loses, like I said, it's, to me, that's it. It's over. I'm having the weirdest deja vu right now. It is so freaking weird. Like, I've lived through this moment already. No, like literally, I'm not saying because of last year. I'm saying like right now in this moment, I'm having deja vu.
Well, I'm about to experience some great deja vu because I think we're about to get into there. Also, thanks to the Facebook users who are commenting and joining us. I am very excited. Is our guest still ready to make a run in? And I will be ready. I am already getting ready. I'm making preparations.
No.
All right. No. Okay.
All right, let us turn things over to you. Just remember, if you are listening to us in podcast form, you can watch us live after WrestleMania Night 2. Just go to X, Facebook, or YouTube. Patrons already have the link. If you want to join us, just let us know, and we will be able to get you in. All right. Also, remember, tomorrow there is going to be the flagship show still happening. We're going to be chatting WrestleMania weekend, and not one, but two rounds of trivia. That's right. Trivia is back. If you want to be part of the trivia and get first dibs at trivia, join the patron, join the family, or at patreon.com/SNME Radio. Trivia is back. Games are back. We are taking things back to how they used to be. And then also, if you want to help find other ways of supporting the show, go to our merch. A lot of things are happening. Go to our merch shop.
Go to our merch shop.
chopped-tees.com. That's chopped-tees.com. And you can find Sunday Night's Main Event merch, but there's other brands, including Poison Rana and Post Wrestling and Brad this weekend. They actually have a huge sale until April the 9th, where the entire store is 20% off. But if you buy more than one item, you're going to get a discount, a volume discount. That's chopped-tees for some awesome wrestling merch. Really nice stuff. Free shipping if you're in certain countries, which means that the price that you see in your checkout before you check things out is the final price, and you're going to get stuff within a week. Chopped-tees.com. Buy some SNME shirt. Trivia's back. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. And starting next week, we're going to be doing some really cool stuff on the main show, bringing the show back. And it's going to be good times. Let's turn things over to you, the listeners. Tom, I hope you're ready.
All right, Tom. I guess I still have to work on figuring out how to get my camera back, but I'm still here.
No worries, no worries. Let's talk WrestleMania. What did you think of WrestleMania Saturday?
First of all, just that WWE Connect, we have a watchable Hall of Fame event, is just something that would not happen in the past era.
Yep, 100%. The Hall of Fame before was one or two people. Last night's show, a little long, but that crowd, that damn crowd.
Mm. We have a question from our Facebook group. Tom, confirm or deny, are you wearing a t-shirt?
I did take my t-shirt off for this.
Yeah! Tom, what was the highlight for tonight? What was your favorite part of tonight?
I did like the DIY DX part. That was good. There's just everything. I guess the heartfelt thing would be the Sami Zayn thing. So I guess we'll go with that.
What was the worst part of tonight? What was the thing where you were just ready to take your shirt off and throw it right at the screen?
The surprising thing was I was looking at my PVR and it was saying like 10 o'clock and the main event was starting. So I thought this thing was going to be over and really, really quick.
That's our own. Me too, Tom. That's our own stupid fault.
But I don't think there was very much disappointment. I think everybody did well. I think you also have to understand that the only thing that could have been colder than tonight is New York. And I don't know if New Jersey was this cold for those WrestleManias when they had them. So I think this might be the coldest ever.
Yeah, it's early this year, Tom. The other thing is, did you ever think you'd be here, Jordy, on Aftercast? And you don't have anything negative to say. Like, and I think Boris and I would agree with you. This was a generally positive. We're leaving WrestleMania happy.
I try to be positive, but obviously when Oink Oink gets involved, things get very negative.
Yeah, and it was a great night. Boris, you kind of made a face there. What were you going to say? Other than Jimmy and Jay, that was probably the low point. But even that, it wasn't that it was bad. It just wasn't up to expectations.
But that's hard, right? They, like, them fighting in the backyard is one thing. But them trying to fight each other and have to worry about, is this looking real? I don't want to hurt my brother. The kind of thing that's going to get in the way, like Matt and Jeff, they didn't all want to fight. So it wasn't good.
And without Kishi there, Tom, that was really the problem. We needed Kishi to come out and sit in the corner and be there. Big Kishi. We know he was there somewhere.
He's probably in the back. Yeah, I guess I can see that. And I guess Stu Hart would have had Brett and Owen tearing each other apart for years.
Exactly. Yeah, and Keish was like, boys, we dance together. We don't fight.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Tom, I need to ask you, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes. Does Cody Rhodes finish the story?
Here's the thing. With Cody Rhodes, I believe he will win, but I also believe when the story ends, the crowd may turn on him.
You know,
and then I don't know what's going to happen because we do have what happened in AEW. That may be something that about I built this thing, why are you turning on me? But if the WWE fans turn on him, is the WWE going to turn up the volume?
Ooh.
Like they've done in the past.
No. I don't think this, previous regimes, yes, not this regime. And let's just remember that Cody Rhodes apparently has signed a new contract that is going to take him past 40 years old. So, yeah, that's that.
Hey,
I can't see the crowd turning on him in certain cities. Remember, we're in Philadelphia right now, right? Like, that's...
And there's a whole bunch of AEW fans who are in that crowd, who are prominently more AEW fans than WWE fans, who carried that sentiment that you brought over from Tom. That was a really good point.
Yeah, that's exactly. Remember, yeah. This weekend's crowds, SmackDown, WrestleMania, Raw, it's not your typical WWE crowd. It's mixed in with a lot of other people. Tom, as always, thank you so much. I hope to hear from you tomorrow. Just send me a message if you want to come on, and we'll make sure it happens.
All right, I'll be back.
Take care.
Bye, Tom.
Bye, Tom. All right, we are going to go again. Remember, if you can join on the Patreon, if you have, or join from the Patreon link, or just let me know that you want to come on. I'm going to go to the Facebook group and other places, get some feedback from the various threads that we have up there. All right, Blaine, during the main event, he said, this match is finally making it feel like a WrestleMania. This is great. Then he later said, obviously, Cody finishes the story tomorrow, faces Rock at SummerSlam, and then Roman and Rock next year at Mania.
Yeah, Roman and Rock next year, Mania. I don't know if they're going to wait that long. I think that that could be a SummerSlam thing. It all comes down to Roman's filming schedule. And here's a funny thing to say, Boris. Also, it comes down to Rock's filming schedule, but Roman's as well. I think Rock and Roman are going to take over Hollywood together.
Yeah. Justin Waldman, he says, but yeah. Well, he said, but yeah, I can't effing wait to hear glass shattering and an ATV coming down with 300 stunners tomorrow night. Cody Vengers assemble. All right, Brad, I'm going to ask you and everyone listening, you can add your thoughts on the chat. Who do you think is going to actually show up for Cody? And are we going to get some debuts tomorrow for the Bloodline?
I think yes for the debuts. I'm going to say Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and then I'm going to go with a few off the board. Like, I think we can see Austin. If Austin's in town for this, this might be his spot. And John Cena can't get physical. It doesn't mean he can't stand somewhere and block people's way.
Is there a possibility, any possibility on this timeline, Earth 616, where MJF shows up? And the only reason I say that's because it's coming from the chat.
Wow. That would be amazing. Can you imagine if he helps Cody win and we replay that whole storyline where him and Cody are friends and MJF turns?
Yep. MJF would be crazy for sure. Look, I'm hearing this rumor a lot more this weekend from various people. It's not just a crazy internet rumor, but it is a crazy internet rumor. It is a crazy internet rumor. It is a crazy internet rumor.
If they let him go, dude, what were they thinking?
Who knows? All right, Jake Alinar. Very good night one WrestleMania. The only down match was the Usos, which was a shame, but I thought everything else delivered. I think that seems to be the overall sentiment. Angelo Manticio said, solid show tonight. A few slow parts, but overall very solid. I absolutely love that.
Tom commented from YouTube. Hi, Tom. Really good point that The Rock and Roman is definitely going to be something that the Saudis are going to want for their card.
Yeah, I can see that happening there. I can for sure see that happening there. Douglas Stanford Grandy, he says, tomorrow the main event's finish will be hella overbooked. Towards the finish, we'll have all of the Bloodline out there. Then... I don't think that's going to happen. Then a former UFC star, you know who, hit. He comes out to save Cody. F5s all around. Then you'll hear familiar glass shattering and Steve Austin's music hits. Comes Austin, stunners galore, and then Cody wins. We're not going to see that former UFC fighter. Did you notice that? What was it during the Paul Heyman's video when the Undertaker lost? They went out of their way to not show that former UFC fighter.
And he said Brock's name twice, but yeah,
Heyman being Heyman.
Yeah, but he wasn't around, and he hasn't been in anything for a while until this whole thing with the other person who shall not be named is cleared up. Brock is persona non grata, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you feel about Brock Lesnar.
And I'm also hearing from a lot of people, including Greg from The Peg and Dax, that Roman is being very pissy with the media. Apparently, even our friend of the show, Chris Van Vliet, was kind of pushed aside. I don't know exactly what happened yet. I'll have to check that out. We're doing this show live. Maybe I'll talk about that on the main show tomorrow when we do another recap of stuff. And WrestleMania Sunday.
It's always my favorite. When do you sleep? When do you sleep, Boris?
Honestly, today I fell asleep at 6 a.m. I finished the ROH stuff. Then I did some stuff for Slam. Set up a lot for SNME. Even these backgrounds, the images and all that stuff. The intro, the countdown and all that stuff.
And the amazing song in the intro, if you're joining us in progress, go back and Boris did a great job of finding some music. And apparently, dude, we have to, oh yeah, look, apparently Triple H addressed Brock at the press conference. So that was from one of our Facebook users. Boris, just thank you, by the way, for all the hard work you've been putting into the coverage and things like that for this weekend. It's really appreciated. And yeah, this is always fun. Do we have anybody else ready to join us, or are we both going to try and get some sleep before WrestleMania night two?
We're gonna keep going with the chat. We'll see what
happens. Okay,
Martin. Hey, Martin. Hermano. He's a good friend of mine. Proper Mania Day 1. Rock turns tomorrow. Cody wins. Cody versus Rock at SummerSlam, and Rock versus Roman at Backlash. That's not a prediction. It's a spoiler.
Nice. Yeah, those are great matches that I would love to see. Hey, Boris only went to bed at 6. Weak.
Right?
Naps, siestas. Siestas are our friends this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. Where are we going to see? All right. Brandon. Hey, Finley. Seth retains tomorrow and enters into a feud with Gunther. Cody wins, but unfortunately, without a clean win, tomorrow will be interesting. Gunther, I think, is next in line. He's going to get a title shot in Berlin. August 31st, Berlin. He's Austrian, but the Germans are going to love him. Cody, like I said, he has to beat Roman, quote unquote, by himself. There will be ways to get the bloodline involved, but only Cody can touch Roman Reigns.
Yeah, there shouldn't be shenanigans. And the only question is, who else is going to be there to help Roman besides The Rock and Solo and Jimmy? Yeah, I would not be surprised to see some other members of the family tree there. Anybody who's healthy enough to take a bump, basically, I would say.
Are we going to see some former New Japan wrestlers possibly making their debuts?
Oh, I would love that, as long as going right to the main roster. That would be great. The bloodline's going to need to reload after this or something.
Yeah, as long as they don't create this bloodline wolf pack, right? I don't want to see bloodline implodes. I don't want to see two groups of the bloodline going at it. I think that would, you know, that would be the jumping the shark moment. I don't want to see, you know, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and some of the others, right, to do their own thing. Like, yeah.
Are there guys from the MLW that maybe might be showing up?
I can see that. And there will be shenanigans. There are going to be the shenanigans. I'm just saying, Cody, all the shenanigans can happen everywhere in the arena, but only Cody can beat up on Roman. If anyone touches Roman, including if, let's say, Austin were to show up or Cena were to show up, everyone needs to only focus on the bloodline. It needs to be Cody and Roman beating each other up. That's it. That's what I mean by that.
And Cody needs to pin Roman in the middle of the ring on top of the Prime logo in order for WrestleMania to end well. I got to be honest with you. Whatever they did for the Prime logo, I didn't see anybody slipping on that logo. So kudos to WWE for finding a way to put that logo there without making it a health hazard.
Right. I'm just interested to kind of see who the first person to bleed on it. It'll probably be Logan Paul tomorrow.
Oh, definitely going to be Logan Paul tomorrow. He'll splash a little bit of red color on that. And then the question is, will they have a second canvas with a Prime logo on it?
All right, coming from the chat, the only way Bloodline continues is if The Rock takes over and Heyman sides with him. Otherwise, it dies.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. And they'll need a new leader, and I have this funny feeling that Solo is due for a push. And there's I don't know if he's ready, but boy, would that be great to have Solo leading the Bloodline.
Yeah. And then you can have someone like, you know, a Jacob Fatu or someone kind of like be that Solo character for now. That silent assassin.
Yeah. And there's enough people for them to bring in that they could keep this going. And so rather more like Bullet Club. Let's keep it like Bullet Club. Oh, you're chuckling. What's in the chat?
Oh, no, just keep talking. Keep talking.
Rhodes kisses the Prime logo. That one cracked me up. You're 100% right. Must have been in the sponsored deal. Yeah, Solo, I think, is still a couple years away, and he might be a couple years away. But as long as Paul Heyman's willing to help, and he hinted that in his speech, that there's a new chapter to be told after this.
Yep.
So, Boris, what do you think? Is this the best two-night WrestleMania because of the cliffhanger, other than maybe the pandemic, again, only because we were all going crazy, and boy, did WWE come out of the woodwork and give us something to watch.
Honestly, if it wasn't for wrestling in 2020, I don't know where my mind and brain would be. Yeah, I don't know. And remember, that's when I joined SNME. That's when I finally gave in and Jason and all that happened, right?
Yeah, so. It was perfect, dude. It was, and we needed that. And I think we needed it just because we were all living in the same day over and over again.
Yeah. So to answer your question, yeah, out of the two-night WrestleManias, this has been by far the best one by far so far. It might not have those matches like we had the past couple years where night one just had an absolutely banger of a match, but I think the story is doing a great job of moving us into night two. Tons of stories. Seth, Drew, remember, Punk's on commentary. Is Beth going to get involved? Is Damian Priest going to cash in? What's going to happen with The Rock? What's going to happen with Cody? Is Cody going to finish a story? All that and so much more tomorrow. And just remember, tomorrow during the day, be sure to catch Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio and the iHeartRadio News Talk Network, because we are bringing back trivia. We're going to have not one, but two rounds of trivia. If you want to be part of the trivia, there's two ways to do it. First off, patrons, you're part of the family. You get first crack at trivia. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. Once you are part of the patron, just send me a direct message and we are good to go. Once I've done everyone who wants to play in the patron, I'm going to open it up, but it will be very, very select people. But we'll talk about that. It's got to be with the patrons first. That's just how we work. Got to be fair in terms of that. Also, remember that we have merch. You can buy all of our merch, and not just Sunday night's main event merch. You can buy Poison Rana, Post Wrestling, and so WrestleNomics, and so much more. Chopped-Tees.com. Chopped-Tees.com. Right now, they have a sale. Everything is 20% off, and you get volume discounts if you buy more than one item. If you like the written word, I write for them. I like the written word. I like reading things. Slam Wrestling is the place to go for the best reviews, interviews, opinions in the written word. SlamWrestling.net. So much to do. So much to go over. Brad, we're only done night one, and I am so tired. Yeah.
You're tapping out. I just heard you do it. You just tapped out on the microphone. But thank you to all the patrons. Thank you for keeping the lights on. Thank you for being patrons and being part of the family. That's how I became upgraded my status in Patreon was because of the trivia. And so I'm so happy to hear that patrons get first crack at trivia, because let's be honest, it's you guys that keep this going. It's you guys commenting and watching and listening to all of our stuff that make this happen. And the other thing is the big homie over there, I'm a Boris guy. I don't know if that can be a t-shirt, Boris, but I think I need a shirt that says I'm a Boris guy.
It's the Boris era here in SNME.
We're not doing that.
Actually, you probably are. Actually, our next shirt, I'll just tell you everyone now, it is going to say stay tranquilo.
Oh yeah. Listen, I'm an SNME guy is also not a bad shirt. We've been very great. You guys have been great as patrons. And so we're very happy to have you guys here. Thank you for joining us. Big shout out to all of you who are commenting along as well. Boris and I could chat and do a podcast, but it's way more fun with all of you here. All right. And I'm a Boris guy too. I want the shirt. There you go, Boris. We're making a Boris shirt.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening, whether this the first after party or the whatever number we're on. I got to actually count how many we've done. And just remember, thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow is WrestleMania Night 2. You can find us on X, Facebook, and YouTube. And we will see if Cody finishes his story. I am so interested to see exactly what happens. Brad, as always, thank you for joining me tomorrow. It's going to be Eric B. It's going to be a raw dog joining me. I'm going to go drink some more water, have some more Halls, because that's what I've been putting in my mouth. I try to get some sleep. Thank you so much for listening here on Sunday night's main event. But most importantly, stay tranquilo.